I hope that you are all keeping well and your faith in God is growing bit by bit, but definitely. Sometimes we take our faith for granted, and it is good that we learn how not to do that. Today we take the subject of God's provision. And it is something that we often take for granted, perhaps too much. God's provision is truly wonderful. As we look back over many years, we cannot but feel grateful that God has provided for us in times when we were in need. Looking back at all these years, gratitude really must fill our hearts. But provision from God is very often taken for granted. And so today we are going to take up a special miracle often called the feeding of the 5,000. Now this is one miracle, just one, that is recorded in all of the Gospels. Some of the miracles are recorded in different Gospels and then explained in different ways, but this is one particular miracle that every single Gospel writer took up. So this is the only miracle that is recorded in all of the four Gospels. Now, it's called the feeding of the 5,000. Literally, it is a feeding of 5,000 men. And this is noted in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Matthew noted, not counting the women and the children. So there would be a lot more than 5,000 men. And so we appreciate this. Now, why is this so important that it was noted by all the gospel writers? In fact, it is important enough for us to spend two Sundays thinking about the meaning of this miracle of feeding of the 5,000. Today, we begin with the first lesson, the first message on the subject of faith and our trust in God's provision. Now, in order to understand this story a little bit better, we have to understand the context. The context is one where the famous preacher called John the Baptizer was actually slain, and he was killed, and the Lord Jesus Christ withdrew himself from the city at that point of time. And so as he withdrew, a lot of people knew that he was no longer in the city, and so they flocked to him. Word got around. Multitudes began to come from different cities, and they came. And as usual, we know why they came. They came because many people were sick. Doctors were not great in those days. And then, of course, there were people who had problems with family members or friends who were possessed by demons. And the only person who can help them would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they flocked to the Lord Jesus. How do you think the Lord Jesus Christ felt as he saw the growing number of people who were coming to him? And we are told that he had compassion on them. Now, this story is found in four places. So if you would like to, you can check it out for yourself later on. It's found in Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Mark chapter 6, 30 to 44, Luke chapter 9, 10 to 17, and then in John 6, first 15 verses, and then in a special explanation, which we will take up next week, 22 to 71. And so there was a lot written about this particular miracle. Now, of course, when the people came to the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not know how long they would stay. Much depends upon what Jesus taught. Much depends upon how many people were healed. And Jesus would not hurry. He would take time for each individual, each person who was sick, each family that needed help. The Lord Jesus Christ would patiently spend a lot of time helping the family members, encouraging people, even as he healed them. Now, it was evening time. Then, of course, after a whole day, people become hungry. Where were they? They were actually outside the city, and it was called a wilderness or a deserted place, so that it can take in so many thousands of people at one time. You couldn't do that in the city. And so it turned out that there were thousands of people out there in the wilderness area. In other words, where nobody was actually living in that region. So we then have an interesting discussion between the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Well, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and they said to him, "I think we should send the people away. Let them get their own meals, their own dinners, and then maybe we can minister to them later on." Well, it was a long way from the city. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did not agree to this suggestion at all. And so he said to them, "The multitudes need not go away." And he said something which the disciples really had no answer to. He said to them, this is found in Matthew 14, verse 16. He said, "You give them something to eat." Now, of course, that was a real test to the disciples. How could they give anything to the people? There were thousands of them. Well, he raises question to the disciples as to how to feed the multitudes. Although he raised the questions to test the disciples, John 6, verse 6 reminds us, he knew exactly what he was going to do. One of the disciples, called Philip, said to the Lord, "Lord, even 200 denarii would not be enough to give to each one something to eat." Now, how much is 200 denarii? Now, imagine a worker, a laborer goes out there to work from morning till evening. And so he would be paid just one denarii. And that would be enough to buy quite a bit of food. And so when Philip said 200 denarii, we are looking at 200 days of work from a laborer's standpoint. And Philip calculated, even if you spend 200 denarii, we are looking at months of hard work put together. It will not be enough to feed everyone, to give everyone something to eat. And this is found in John 6 and verse 7. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew that they were calculating in their mind how to resolve this matter. So he didn't take it up further. So he asked the disciples, "Well, what do we have?" And of course, they had nothing on themselves. They had nothing on their own. And so Andrew came around and said, "Lord, there's a little lad here. He's a young boy. And he has a little bit of food, which he has offered. That's 5 barley loaves, small buns, and 2 fish to eat together with the bread." And this is noted in all of the Gospels. So Matthew 4:14, Mark 6, Luke 9, John 6, everyone recorded that this was actually offered to the Lord. John 6, it was given by a little lad. And then the question was raised. But what is that among so many? Remember, 5 loaves, 2 fish. How do you feed thousands of people like that? And so we have so many lessons learned along the way. And sometimes, as I said earlier, we take so much of God's provision for granted. Well, the Lord Jesus knew what he was going to do. He's not going to send the disciples out to the village, to the cities to buy 200 denarii worth, because it will take quite a while to walk there, buy the food, and come back. Even if you spend 200 denarii, they don't have horses, they don't have chariots to go with them, so they're going to walk. It's going to take quite a while. So that was not the answer. So what do you do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Well, in the disciples' mind, they did not have the faith to understand what could be done if the Lord were to bless. They couldn't fathom this. They couldn't imagine what could be done. And so the only way left was for the Lord Jesus to actually teach them, help them to understand how faith in God actually can work. And so he said to the disciples next, make the people sit down. And of course, you understand, Jesus is a wonderful organizer. When people stand around, thousands of people stand around, you'll find that it is very much harder to minister to people, to help people. So the first thing he said to the disciples, make all the people sit down. So the disciples will have to go around and tell the people, okay, let's sit down. Now, how were they to sit? In Luke chapter 9 and verse 14, some groups sat in groups of 50. In Mark 6 and verse 40, some groups sat in groups of 100. Why these numbers? Well, because some families, everyone in a family may have come. So you have groups. Some may have come on their own. They don't have too many people. So you can have groups of 50. Now, where would they sit? Matthew 14, Mark 6, John 6 will tell us that there was a lot of grass upon which they could sit. And so the Lord Jesus Christ told them, now make them sit down on the grassy patch and he's going to do something very special. Now the disciples, of course, were wondering, what would Jesus do? What could he do with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? They just could not imagine. It would take a lot of faith to believe that a miracle can take place right here and now. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was actually seeking to teach them. Well, of course, the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch how he would go about it. Very carefully. In Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, we read, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up to heaven. Now that is an important thing, a lesson to learn. No matter how little we may seem to have, it is always good to look up to heaven. Now I know that when we pray, we often bow our heads, we close our eyes. Now that's not wrong either. The reason why we ask people to bow their heads is to look at, to show proper regard and respect. We close our eyes, not because we are tired, it's so that we won't get distracted. But the Lord Jesus is not like us in any way. To him, the heavens represented the place where his Father dwells. The heavens reminded him of the greatness of God's power. And that he would look up is his way of expressing how he is talking to his Father in heaven, how he is conscious of who he is. And so he looked up to heaven and he prayed. Now, this is important, what he did next. In John 6:11, the only one who noted it, Jesus gave thanks. Sometimes we take God's provision for granted, and we don't really know how to give thanks. We give thanks very briefly, and we don't really mean what we say very much. But Jesus did. So he looked up at the heavens. He thought of his Father in heaven. He looked at the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. And he's thinking of feeding the thousands. And he gave thanks. Now, that would take quite a bit of faith. And so it is. Faith is trusting in God. Faith is giving thanks to God, even for the little that we may have. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gave thanks. And this is one reason why we always bow our heads and give thanks to God for the food that we have. It is to teach us to always have an attitude of gratitude. And it's not really that hard to practice this. And if we were to make this a practice, morning, noon, night, when we have our meals, and we can learn to give thanks to God, thanksgiving can be a very real part of our life. And faith teaches us how to give thanks to God each day, every day, many times a day. And then after Jesus looked up to heaven, gave thanks, he then blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so this is what he did. So it was a blessing that came from God, blessed the bread, blessed the fish that is to be taken, to be eaten. Sometimes we don't realize that's what we do when we give thanks for food which we are going to partake of. We are asking the Lord to bless the food so that as we partake of the food, of the provision that God gives to us, we would be then blessed. And so the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples vital lessons about how to understand God's provision and how to thank God. And so the work of distributing food began. And so the disciples were very surprised. So they went out, and each one had a little bit. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And as he broke it to the disciples, to the surprise of all the disciples, they found that the bread multiplied. The fish multiplied. John 6:11, we read, the people ate as much as they wanted. There would be some who would have more bread and fish. There were some who have more fish than bread, as much as they wanted. They didn't have to feel that they didn't have enough. If they were hungry, they ate more. They were not hungry, they ate less. But they could eat as much as they wanted. That's how to see God's provision. And the Lord's provision is always ample, if we understand his provision properly. And we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that all ate. The men folk ate, the women folk ate, the children ate. Do you imagine? All ate, and they were filled. So imagine that they had been coming to see the Lord Jesus. They had walked a long distance from the cities. They didn't bring any food with them, and then they all ate and they were filled. Not just with food, but truly with gratitude, because they could understand that this was nothing short of a very special miracle. And God's provision to us, given to us, must always be appreciated as a very, very special blessing. Now, what else may we learn from this particular story? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples. Now, they are in a deserted place. And so he told the disciples, gather the fragments. Some people may have taken more than they needed, and they feel that they've had too much. So there were some leftovers. We call that fragments. Maybe a bun or two more than they needed. And everybody had enough. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, don't waste food. Make sure that there is no wastage. Gather the fragments. See that nothing is lost. Jesus was well aware of the fact that there were many people who were poor. Some of the reasons why the people came with nothing with them is because some of them didn't have very much food. Some of them were poor. Perhaps many were poor. And to see food being eaten and then thrown away as wastage is not something the Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to practice. So nothing is lost. How much did they gather of leftover food? To our great surprise, all four Gospels noted, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all noted there were 12 baskets of leftover food and fish collected. There's a lot. That is to tell us how God can provide, and wonderfully, amply. If we were to look back at all the years of God's provision, we would surely be able to agree that we have had enough. And more. The danger, of course, is that oftentimes, because we have so much, we tend to waste food, to throw away. And that is always not a good thing to learn. So what were the lessons that were meant to be learned? These lessons are physical. These lessons are material. We're not even talking about spiritual lessons yet. Next week, we will look at some of the deeper spiritual lessons that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted his disciples to learn. And they were good lessons to learn. They were important lessons to learn. So what are some of those things that we may learn of him this evening or today? Well, firstly, we understand that God will always provide. If nothing else, we recognize that where the Lord Jesus has taught and what he has taught about God's provision. One day the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples that they are not to worry about food or drink. This is found in Matthew chapter 6. They are not to worry about the clothes that they are to put on. Everybody worries for all little things, not the Lord Jesus. And so he told the disciples, now don't worry about these things. And then he would say to them, take a look. Look at the fields. Look at how God clothed the grass. Look at how God has provided for the birds of the air. They don't worry. Why should we? And so the first lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to learn was to always exercise faith. Maybe we are not careful in the planning of our life. Maybe we may be worried about what happens to our children, to our family, if COVID-19 extends further. We are worried that, so much money would have to be spent. We're worried about our children. We're worried about the future. And if the Lord wants us to learn, exercise faith, there is no need to be worried in any way at any time. How does God look at us when we have problems and difficulties and challenges in our heart. Remember, God is not angry. Rather, He has compassion. He knows that we need to eat. He knows that we have worries on our hearts. He knows that we are concerned about the future. And He really teaches us to exercise faith. So Philip was calculating on the basis of dollars and cents how much it would cost. Another disciple said, well, we only have so little. Both needed to have a lesson on faith. And our subject on this issue of faith is to learn how to trust in God's provision. Though that is a vital lesson to learn. And what's another lesson to learn? Obviously, that lesson is a lesson on what it means to see God's power at work. If we look back at all these years, some of you have been through the Second World War, and you probably remember that there were times when it was difficult to know when the next meal is coming from. And yet, we survived. God provided. Today, all of us have our own homes, and we fail to appreciate that behind all these provisions of God, we are actually seeing God's power at work. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficult times. If nothing else, He wants to remind us, to teach us that behind God's promise of provision, there is God's power at work. Can He take simple things and then bless it? Absolutely. I think some of us, we come from backgrounds when we did not have much educational background at all. We don't come from rich families. We do not know how we could survive. And yet we have. And now we see our children and our grandchildren all being well-educated. They have good jobs, they have got a good future, and we sometimes take for granted that all of these things display God's provision and God's power. And God can continue to supply all that we may need in our life. This is an important reminder to all of us. As we think about this miracle, let's think of God's promises of provision. Let's think of God's power. And what else can we learn along the way as we think about this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? Remember, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. There could be easily 7,000-8,000 or more people there. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the Lord was able to feed all that number of people. What is the best approach as we take time to reflect on God's provision, on God's blessings? Let's take the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's learn to take what we have at hand and then give thanks. And every time we eat, every time we have some food, every time we see the Lord's provision, let us learn to give thanks. Now, this is something that we want to not take for granted. One person wrote to me very recently, and he's a very humble man. And so he said, Pastor, I have reached 50 years old. And I look back at all these years, and I cannot but give thanks to God. And so he said he would like to give a love gift to the Lord in thanksgiving for God's blessings all his life. How wonderful to be able to look back at all these years and learn to give thanks to God. And how would God provide? We don't know how he will actually provide, because what God does is something that he has planned in his own wisdom. He may not tell us what we may expect in the years ahead, but this is what we have in the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can, must give thanks. And the Lord will meet all our needs. This story is really staggering in more ways than one. So we have a story of how God provided through a little boy. And this little boy had just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And God provided. It reminds me of a story in America some years ago. And one day, this was during winter time, and it was very cold. And there were a lot of people who lived in the streets. And so the Christian family, the father and mother, and they had a little son. And they were praying together. And so the father said, you know, I think we should pray that they must at least have some blankets to keep them warm during this winter time. And so after the family prayed together, the little boy said to the father, he says, Dad, you know, I've got 2 blankets. I only need 1. Can I give my extra blankets away to someone who needs a blanket? And so the father was deeply moved. And so he began to call up his church pastor and his church friends. And they said, you know, why don't we take up a collection of blankets that we don't really need at home? And so a movement that year saw literally tens of thousands of extra blankets that were distributed, started off with the example of a little boy who wanted to give his extra blankets away. God continues to use little ones to bless and touch our hearts, to know what it means to give of what little we have, and to trust that God can and will actually bless the little efforts that we make. And as we think about faith and God's provision, let's be challenged to deepen our faith, strengthen our faith, and to thank God for his provision all our life. And may our faith lead us to give thanks to God. Well, let's pray together and give thanks to God. Our Father, we thank you that we have your promise of provision. And behind every provision, there is your power as well. And we thank you that we can truly thank you for all that you provided for us personally, for our families, for our children and our grandchildren. Teach us to have a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of faith, that we may trust you for the future when we are uncertain as to what the future may bring. Teach us to trust you, to believe in you, and to give thanks always. We ask you to bless. In Jesus' name, amen.